What's the purpose of soldiers of Christ? The purpose of soldiers of Christ is to get the Word of God in our heart. Where do I need to put God's Word? I got to put it in my heart. Why? Thy Word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. I need to put God's Word in my heart. That's what soldiers of Christ is going through the Bible, not just picking random facts to try to memorize random facts. There's purpose behind all of this. And so we started off with our overview cards, just overview of the Bible that have some overview questions. Overview questions like, what's the best book in the world? There's eight people in here that know what the best book in the world is. That's why we're doing Soldiers of Christ, people. All right, what's the best book in the world?
Bible.
David, what'd you say? Your mom was talking too loud. I couldn't hear you. What's the best book in the world? Okay, so David knows. Now, about how many guys wrote the Bible? About 40 guys. How long? How many years? About how many years did it take them to write? About 1,600 years. You know what? Those are just random facts that don't matter, right? About 40 guys, about 1,600 years. Those are just facts that don't matter, right? Wrong. You want to talk to somebody about the Bible being inspired of God? Here's a book written by about 40 guys over 1,600 years. And guess what? There's perfect unity in this book. You find any other 40 guys on the face of the earth and you ask them to write on any topic over a period of 1,600 years. Are they going to be united on their discussion? Not a chance in the world. What does that show? This book didn't come from man. This book came from God. And he just used those 40 guys to write over a period of about 1,600 years. So if you want to talk to somebody, thank you, Simon. Thank you, Grayson. Do we have enough? Good. You all didn't get stoned or anything because you ran out. Very nice. So if you want to talk to somebody, do you need any of this? All right, good deal. If you want to talk to somebody about inspiration of the Bible, that's one thing to do. So they're united on one theme. What's the theme of the Bible? In two words, what's the theme of the Bible? Jesus Christ. That's what they wrote about. 40 men over 1,600 years wrote about Jesus Christ. Two words. Now give me three sentences about the Bible. What's the summary of the Bible? Somebody's coming. Someone is here. Someone's coming again. 39 books of the Old Testament. What do they say? Someone is coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Someone is here. Acts through Revelation. Somebody's coming again. That's the story of the Bible. If you know Jesus Christ is the two-word summary, if you know someone's here, someone's coming, somebody's coming, somebody's here, somebody's coming again, you know what the Bible's about. And you can fit that together. Now, something we might not have talked about is that the book of Genesis, how long does the book of Genesis cover? How many years? 2,500 years. It's about 1,656 years from creation to the flood, but 2,500 years in the book of Genesis. Now, what does that also correspond to? There's three different ages, three different dispensations in the Bible. You know what they are? You got patriarchal age. How long was the patriarchal age? About 2,500 years. Guess what book of the Bible teaches us about the patriarchal age? Book of Genesis, about 2,500 years. The next age only lasts about 1,500 years. What's it called? Mosaic age. From Exodus through the... Well, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you've got the Mosaic Age. And then what do you have for the rest of the New Testament? Christian Age. So here's three different dispensations, 2,500, 1,500, 2,000. That helped me when I learned that the book of Genesis covered 2,500 years. That's a lot of territory. Of the three dispensations, that's the longest one of all of them. So you have these three dispensations. What's the two parts of the Bible? Old Testament, New Testament. Is that important to know? Is it important to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? When did the Old Testament end and when did the New Testament begin? When Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, Old Testament ends, New Testament begins. Is that important to know? You ever have somebody take you back to the Old Testament and try to prove something from the Old Testament that the New Testament didn't support? What law are we under? When Jesus died on the cross, we're no longer under that Old Testament, we're under the New Testament. So if you're looking at the cards, look at your blue cards. And the blue cards are this first set of cards, they're called the books of Moses. And we're looking at Genesis and Exodus and these books of Moses cards. And we've already talked about the creation. How many days of creation? How many days did it take God to create the world? Don't say seven. How many days did it take God to create the world? Six, good answer, 6 days. Is there a verse in the Bible that says that? Suppose you get into a discussion with somebody and you want just one verse that says God made everything in 6 days. Where would you take them? Exodus 20 and verse 11. Isn't that funny that it's not in Genesis? That's one of the key locations. When you're looking at your cards and you look at the key locations, that's a key location to know that says, where does it say God made it in six, not just 6 days, six literal days, six 24-hour days? Where was it? Exodus what? Exodus 20 and what? Verse 11. Was it Genesis or Exodus that verse is in? Exodus. What chapter? 20. What verse? 11. Now, what else is in Exodus chapter 20? Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments say, remember the Sabbath week, remember the Sabbath year, remember the Sabbath millennium, remember the Sabbath what? Day. And God made the world in 6,000 years, right? 6 days. Where's that verse found? Exodus 20 and verse 11. Is that a good verse to know? That's a verse you need to know. That's a verse you need to have. You can memorize it, but if you don't memorize it, you ought to have it highlighted. And I've known people that have taken their Bible, and they've used some of these pages that are at the front and the back of their Bible, and they've written some key verses for them to remember in the cover of their Bible, so that if they never needed to find it, because if you're looking for Exodus 20 and verse 11, how many pages you're going to flip to find it, except if you memorize where it is. Maybe not memorize the verse as a memory verse, but it's Exodus 20. In verse 11, who's the first man? Adam. Is that important to know? Yes. Who's the first man, David? Who's the first man? He's right. It's Adam. I heard him. Did you hear him? First man is Adam. Who's the first woman? Eve. Is that important to know? Or is that just random facts that nobody has to know? Let me ask you a question. Is there a verse in the Bible that says Adam was formed first and then Eve? Is there a verse that says something like that? That's over in the New Testament. The Old Testament says, who's the first man? Adam. First woman? Eve. Adam was formed first and then Eve. What difference does that make? 1 Timothy chapter 2 is teaching us about the role of women in the church. And guess where God goes to talk about the role of women in the church? Adam was formed first, and then Eve. You think that's so basic. You learned Adam and Eve all the way back there. But that helps us to understand the role of women in the church, understanding who was made first and who was made second. And that's right there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. So, if you were going to look for a verse, that told you that God made them male and female at the beginning, where would you look for that verse? He made them male and female. What book would you look in? Let's start in Genesis. What chapter would you look in? How about chapter 1 where he made man? What verse? 27. Genesis 1:27. That's another key location on your card. Genesis 1:27 teaches that God made them male and female. Is that important to know? Huh. Jesus thought it was important to know. Do you know the first thing Jesus said when somebody asked him about marriage? Well, the first thing Jesus said when somebody asked him about marriage, he said God made them male and female at the beginning. No, Jesus, we're not talking about male and female. We're talking about marriage. Where'd Jesus go? God made them male. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, when they asked him about marriage, Jesus said, yep, marriage. God made them male and female. Is that important to know? Does that tell us who God determined to be married together? So these aren't just random Old Testament facts, that trivia kind of things. These are significant facts and truths that we got to know to be able to pull them together to know, why does God teach what God teaches? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Does it say anything about marriage? A man shall stay with his mom and dad, right? No, big mistake. A man shall leave father, but not mother. He can be a mama's boy, even after he gets married. Big mistake. A man shall leave father and mother and hang out with his wife on the weekends. Be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Is that an important verse to know? Genesis 2:24. Is that an important verse to know? Let's see. Jesus quoted it in Matthew 19. Paul quoted it in Ephesians chapter 5. It's all over the place. That's an important verse to know. So tonight, new material. Go in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3 and look on your blue cards. Genesis chapter 3. And as you're going to Genesis chapter 3, I want to ask you something. It's maybe a trick question. How many trees were in the Garden of Eden? What'd you say? Several. How many trees were in the Garden of Eden? Several. He doesn't think it tells us. Look in Genesis chapter 2. I told you to go to Genesis chapter 3, but just rewind for a second. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Look in verse 9. Be careful. Don't look at the end of the verse. Look at the beginning of the verse. How many trees are in the Garden of Eden? Every tree is in the Garden of Eden. Where did God put the apple trees? Garden of Eden. Where did God put the peach trees? Garden of Eden. Where'd God put the orange trees? Garden of Eden. Sometimes we only focus on two trees. How many trees were in the Garden of Eden? Every tree was there. Where'd the orange tree come from? Not Florida. Garden of Eden. That's where God put it. That's where it started. So every tree is there. Did Adam and Eve have anything to eat? They had lots to eat. Which trees could they eat of in the garden? All of them except for? Just one. Just one. That's it. So how many trees were in the midst? Now the rest of chapter 2, verse 9. How many trees were in the midst, in the middle of the garden? How many trees? Two. Chapter 2, verse 9. How many trees are in the middle of the garden, in the midst of the garden? Tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Which one of those could they eat of? I don't know why, but as a kid, I didn't think they could eat of the tree of life. I just thought that was off limits too. Wrong. In the Garden of Eden, which tree could they eat of the tree of life? Absolutely. But don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did they have enough to eat? I mean, were they just hungry? Well, we don't have enough to eat. I guess we'll just have to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No, they got plenty to eat. But God says, don't eat of that tree. Genesis chapter 2, what does verse 16 and 17 say? Of every tree. Look at Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. Of every tree you may freely eat. Could they eat as much as they wanted of every other tree? Mm-hmm. Everyone. Except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, Genesis 3 and verse 1, who comes on the scene? Careful, tell me what the Bible says and not what you say. The serpent. You want to say it's the devil, don't you? Does Genesis chapter 3 tell you it's the devil? Genesis chapter 3 doesn't tell you it's the devil. Do you know it's the devil? Yeah, because he's slithering like a snake. That's Satan right there, slithering like a snake. That's the devil incarnate. He's a serpent, all right? So how do you know it's the devil? If it doesn't tell you there, it's the devil. How do you know it's the devil? What'd you say, Jackie? It tells you in the last book of the Bible? You mean I got to get to the last book of the Bible to find out that the serpent, the old serpent that John calls him, was the devil? What's the book? Revelation chapter 12. I got to get all the way to the end. The old serpent, the devil. So the serpent comes on the scene. You heard it read in Genesis chapter 3. Serpent said, you can eat of every tree that you want to eat, right? Is that what he said? You can eat of every tree that you want. You can eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did God say about the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Don't eat it. What did the serpent say about the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Go ahead. Eat it. It'll make you wise like God. You go ahead and eat all that you want. Was that a good idea? Bad idea. What did God say was going to happen to them the day they ate of that tree? They would surely die. Is that what happened? They were separated from God on that very day. Was man punished for sinning? Yes. Yes, man was punished for sinning, right? What was man's punishment? His separation from God. He's going to have to earn He's going to have to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. Did the woman have a punishment? Pain in childbirth? Sure, her husband's going to rule over her. By the way, that whole verse over there in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that said Adam was formed first and then Eve. You know what the next verse says? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Does it matter what happens in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve? It matters all the way to the New Testament and the role that God has for women in the church. But here's the key. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. If Genesis chapter 3, you've got man's punished, the woman's punished, the serpent is punished, and then verse 15, the devil is punished. What's his punishment? What's Genesis 3:15? Well, that's the serpent's punishment. He's going to have to crawl on his belly. What was going to be the punishment of the devil for bringing sin into the world? I'm going to put enmity between you. Look in Genesis 3:15. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. What is Genesis 3:15? Do you have, where's this key location? Is this on your prophet card? Look on your key locations on the prophet card. Key locations, prophet card. First prophecy about Christ. Where's that found? Genesis 3:15. I'm going to admit something to you that's pretty embarrassing. I got to college, and I didn't know Genesis 3:15 was the first prophecy about Jesus. I don't know how I missed that. First prophecy about Christ, right here on page 3 in your Bible. Isaiah is the who prophet? The messianic prophet. We think Isaiah is the one who tells us all about Jesus. Yep, he is. Except third page of your Bible, sin comes into the world, and what does God say? Oh, I'm going to have to think about that one. Oh, I have to come up with something on that one. God already had a plan. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Between your seed and her seed. Do you notice anything about the word seed? Her seed? Capital S. I wonder what that means. Between your seed and her seed. What's going to happen? What is the devil, what is he going to do to her seed? How much damage is the devil going to do to her seed? He shall bruise, what's the devil going to bruise on Jesus? His heel. What's Jesus going to bruise on the devil? His head. When did that happen? On the cross, and when Jesus is raised from the dead. Genesis 3:15. All right, we've talked about some verses. I'm going to turn it over to Dan here in just a second. We've talked about some verses. 6 days. God made the world in 6 days. Where's that verse? Exodus 20, verse 11. God made male and female. Where's that verse? Genesis 1:27. First prophecy about Christ. Where's that verse? Genesis 3:15. Key verses, key locations that have a New Testament impact. Dan's going to talk about Noah.
Let's keep going. We're not trying to cover this in depth. We did that and spent 3 or 4 years the last time we did it. We're trying to go through this and hit the highlights, and hopefully that you'll be learning it. Make sure you're studying these cards through the week. You really, really need to do. You're not going to learn Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 for sitting in here. You won't learn Genesis 3:15. You've got to decide that verse is important, not because David says it, not because Dan says it, not because it's on the prophet or the priest or the king card. That verse is important because it is important to me. It is important that I know the first promise there is for the coming of Jesus. Let's jump all the way from Genesis 2 and 3 to Genesis chapter 6. Now, in the interim, between chapters 4 and 5, there's one other event that is important because it's mentioned in the New Testament, and that is the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. And the important thing, and the emphasis the New Testament places on this. And here's what we're trying to do in this Sunday night, is to emphasize verses that are emphasized in the New Testament. We're studying the Old Testament. looking at Christ. We're not going to spend time talking about the sacrifices of Cain and Abel, except it's important. It's the first time that God, that worship is ever mentioned in the Bible. What was right? What made the sacrifice of Abel better than the sacrifice of Cain? That's one of the questions. It's one of the questions that you have on the priest card. What made it? What was the difference in Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice? By what? By Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, what's it all about, that chapter? It's by faith. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Where does faith come from? The only place that faith comes from is from hearing the Word of God. Abel heard the Word of God. Cain did not hear the Word of God. Oh, the words were spoken to him. He understood, but he did not hear what God said, and so he went out and freelanced his own worship. How important is that? When the Bible highlights stories in the Old Testament, that is one of the stories that we have. Just as a matter of interest, Adam and Eve had Cain, they had Abel. After that, they had Seth. In Genesis chapter 5 said they had sons and daughters. Eve was the mother of who? What's the word Eve mean? Mother of all what? All the living. And so every living person that has ever been on this earth, with the exception of Adam, is on this earth because Eve was the mother of every living person. That is an important thing to keep in mind. Enoch walked with God. That's in Hebrews 11. The Bible talks about by faith Enoch walked with God. We're not going to spend time looking at that. Who's the oldest man of the Bible? 969 years is how long Methuselah lived. We're not trying to emphasize it, but it's important for you to know that people live for that age. And God put those stories in the Bible for some reason. Let's get to the story about Noah. If I ask you who built the ark, do you know who built the ark? David, do you know who built the ark? Shout it out.
Noah.
Noah built the ark, all right. Noah built the ark, and that's important. If David can learn it, we hope that you will be able to learn it. Noah had how many sons? How many sons did Noah have? Shem, Ham, and eggs. No, not Shem, Ham, and eggs. Shem, Ham, and who? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, okay. There were eight people in the ark, right? Who was in the ark? Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Is that important? Yeah, because the Bible says that God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. Is it important to know there are eight souls that were saved? Yeah. Why? Because the Bible makes that number important. It tells us exactly. We don't know what Earth's population was. Could have been 20 million people. You do the mathematics, that could have been 20 million people on this earth. And God selected, or God saved Noah. Why was Noah saved? What was different about the life of Noah that was different from the life of any other individuals? By what? By faith, Noah did what? Prepared an ark. You need to understand that the story of Noah occupies chapter 6, 7, 8, and part of chapter 9. Four chapters to talk about the life of one man. We've got 1,600 years of found in the first five chapters. And so the Lord covers 1,656 years talking about, well, in five chapters. And then all of a sudden he said, put on the brakes here. We've got to stop long enough and look at this story about Noah. Now, the specific details may not be this important, but you and I need to understand this story has got to be in the Bible for a reason. And these details need to be they're important. How big was the ark? Would you have to know that? Would God have to tell you that? Could not God have said and made an ark big enough, put in all the animals? That'd been all right. You know what the Bible says? He built an ark. How long was the ark to be? It was in cubits. How many cubits was the ark? Anybody remember the dimensions of the ark? How many? 300 cubits. How long is a cubit? From here to here. Grayson, did you know that? A cubit is from this point down to this point. So Noah, when he's building the ark, he just measures it out. And he gets up to about 265, and Eve comes and says, what time do you want to have supper? And he has to start all over and count again, you know. You understand? 300 cubits long. It had to be 300 cubits long, or he would not have done what God said. How long is 300 cubits? I don't guess Katie and Kelly are here tonight. But one day the girls were here, and I was talking to them about the ark. I said, let's take a tape measure, and let's go out here in the parking lot and measure how long the ark was. And it took a while to measure out 450 feet. If you start right up here at the far end, over where the horseshoe thing used to be and where the shed is, or the other property, that end of the parking lot, and you put a marker there and you carry the marker all the way down to the stop sign way out here. You need to understand how big that ark was. How wide was the ark? It was 50 cubits. How much is that in real money? 75 feet, right? And it's, foot and a half. How far is it from that sign all the way back to where the camera is? I believe it's 68 feet. Go out another 9 feet. Go all the way to the welcome station. That's how wide the ark was. How tall was the ark? Why is that in the Bible? Why is that 350 and 30? Why is that in the Bible? Because God wanted us to have some concept about how big that ark was. And the Bible says, and Noah, thus did Noah as God told him to do it. What the ark looked like. Why did it not leak? How did he keep from putting all of that gopher? What kind of wood was it built out of? Gopher wood. God told him to gopher wood. And so he went out and found gopher wood like God told him to. And so he built the ark out of gopher wood. What kept it from leaking? The Bible says you put pitch, you put tar. Whereabouts you put the tar? On the inside and on the outside. Those details are there. And they're there so God can give us some feeling of water. And then it started raining. How long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. Everybody knows that. Now then, how long was Noah in the ark? 60 days. How long was Noah in the ark? It's easy for us to think he was in the ark only 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know what the text says? Do you know one of the questions on this card? How long was Noah in the ark? 1 year and 17 days. That's a long time to be inside that ark. And God told us, by faith Noah built an ark, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by the water. He had the animals in there. The clean animals he took in by what? By sevens. The unclean animals by what? By two. And so you've got all of these animals in there. Are you aware the Bible said he got food and put it in the ark? Are you aware the Bible talks about? Can you imagine gathering enough food to feed of every animal? You know, the clean animals and unclean, one of every, of every kind, and enough food for a year. That's amazing. If you haven't visited that thing that's up in Kentucky, the Ark, you need to go. It will change your view of some things. Won't take your kids on. Have you been there yet? You got to go. You got to go while they can walk through that Ark, and you get it's full size. It's the most mind-boggling thing I've ever seen. I never understood how big the ark was. Noah built the ark. 120 years from the time God said, I'm going to destroy mankind until the flood came. And Noah went in the ark, and who shut the door of the ark? You know what God said? When God shut the ark, did God shut the ark from the outside? Did God just reach down, take His hand, and just close the door of the ark? How many doors were there in the ark? How many doors were there? How many windows were in the ark? David, do you know how many doors there were in the ark? I didn't hear you, David. How many doors in the ark? How many windows in the ark? One. All right. Just want to make sure you got it. Who shut the door? God did. You know what the text says? He didn't say to Noah, "Go get in the ark. I'm going to shut the door." The Bible says, read the text, read it carefully, and the Lord says, come into the ark. That's different. Come into the ark, and going into the ark says God is where? God's inside the ark. When it gets time to leave the ark, what does God say? Come outside the ark now, Noah. Come on out. No, God says, go outside the ark. Noah was there for all of this time. Why is this in the Bible? Look down on that preach card. God told Noah the ark to build the ark out of the gopher wood, and that is in Genesis chapter 6. You need to be able to open your Bible because you're going to talk about obedience. You want to talk sometimes about instrumental music. Classic illustration. Would Noah have been doing what God said if he'd used gopher wood plus pine? It's a great illustration to show it. But here's a key memory verse, and it's a short verse that you need to memorize. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time the word grace is found in the Bible. The first time. Every time, at least a rule by which I follow in studying the Bible, every time a thing is first mentioned, you'd better spend some time looking at it because God is going to use that word the same way over and over again. Noah saved by faith. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Noah was saved by grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Who needs grace? A sinful man. Everyone needs grace, right? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he wasn't some superhero who was just, you put him on a pedestal and never did wrong. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah obeyed God, faith, obedience, and grace. That is the basis on which every man that has ever been saved will be saved. What mountain did the ark rest on? Ararat. Is that important? Well, perhaps you can find it geographically on a location, at least get some semblance of the idea. The birds that were sent out of the ark, you remember the two kinds of birds he sent out? A raven and? And a dove. Sent the dove out twice. What is the sign God gave to Noah? The rainbow. Seen any rainbows lately? Seen enough rain. I hope you've been able to see the rainbows because God says, I'll see that rainbow from heaven. And when you see a rainbow, and Casey, when little David sees a rainbow, you need to say, God put that there up in the sky because God has seen the other side of the rainbow. And if you think a rainbow is pretty from the way you see it, imagine how beautiful it looks to God who gets to see the other side. That's it. That's enough for tonight. Let's get back here and start right here next week. We'll start with Abraham. But study these cards, folks. You've got to learn them, and you don't have to memorize them, every one. Get what you can get, but get these key locations. Exodus 20 and verse 11, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. Those are important key verses, and those are the ones you need to memorize. You need to know these are on the cards, not because Dan and David thinks, well, it'd be good for somebody to memorize some verses in the Bible. No, these are key verses, and it's up to you what you do with this, but we're trying to emphasize the Old Testament and look, as we study the Old Testament, of things that are highlighted in the New Testament, because it's all about Jesus. We'll see you next week.